Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
First time I ever saw any real money, like, was because of BMF. You know, I asked their artist, Blue Da Vinci, to, like, sponsor a mixtape. And this was, like, when Gangsta Grillz was still, like, compilations. It wasn't even based around one artist. And he was like, how much you need? And I was like, eight. And I was talking about like $800. He was like, yeah, I got you, no problem. He took me to, you know, this crib in Buckhead, probably one of the biggest cribs I'd ever been at in my life up to that point, and just gave me eight racks, like it was nothing, in all hundreds.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, yeah. Like I've been there before. It's
yeah,
like eight grand. Oh, yeah, that's
life. Yeah, I had to act like I've been there. I had never been there before. Like,
are you challenging me?
Do you want to go, bro?
I will lie. I'll lose. It's been a long time.
Boom, let's start, man. We address the nation first and foremost. Yes, happy indeed. Monday, people. This is obviously recorded in advance, but I hope you had a good weekend and have a good week up ahead. Yeah. You know how we do. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, leave a 5-star review and a comment, man. We'll read those out once you lot start leaving them more frequently. YouTube, I know you're here bright and early watching it live, though. Yes. Click subscribe, tell your friend to tell a friend. And the tour is coming up, man. We're going on tour from May the 9th, that's my birthday, to May the 11th, that's the day before VP's birthday.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Manchester, Birmingham, London, get your tickets, the link is in the description.
Yes.
All right, boom, man, what are we getting into this week?
Oh, wow.
A lot.
I like the way this has happened.
Yeah.
It's serendipitous.
Go on.
Know them words.
No.
That's a word, right?
It's a good word.
Don't use it in the intro now. This is serendipitous.
Nah, I'm gonna save it for the outro.
Yeah. But I like the way it comes back because this is literally I went to the barber's and my barber was late. And then he was like, oh man, yeah, I was literally just supposed to cut. I had a celebrity client. I was like, really? Who? And he's like, oh, DJ Drama. I said, really? Oh, we don't really like that guy over here. No, I'm blaming. I was like, okay, cool. And he said, yeah, I connected with this person, blah, blah. So I said, all right, cool. Let me hit Fred and see if Fred, you still speaking to this person? Shout out to Jazz Karras.
Shout out to Jazz Karras,
who's been on the show as well.
Dope.
Very talented.
Beautiful woman.
Right, exactly. And respect women over here as well.
Yes.
Very beautiful.
We're married.
Right. A lot of disrespect.
Respect
going on
women,
that
not the married, but the, yeah.
Right. And then, yeah, essentially we hit her and then she's connected us and it's like, rah, 4 p.m. today, what are you saying? I was like, yeah, we can do that. Like, we can make it work. So this happened because my barber came late from your
fire.
But that's how it works.
Yeah.
But I like the way everyone on the team is just quick.
Because
it could have been special. It could have been like, oh, we need bottles by the time we arrive.
Like
exactly.
No.
Yeah, so Drama drinks Costco water. You know what I mean? It's all right. It could go.
Obviously, I'm drinking Bamboo today.
Yeah. If you're into it, though.
I mean, I'm down for a shot.
We got bottles.
Yeah, we
got
to celebrate.
We could hook everyone up if anyone wants some.
Yeah, there's some bottles.
They were even shy to take water.
Yeah.
Because I offered them before you, and it's like, nah. And then he comes in water, it's like, nah.
Yeah, that's not from me.
Yeah. All right, cool, safe.
Yeah, but what's happening, though?
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming down. You say you've been in London for a bit?
Yeah, I've been here for about a week now.
Okay.
just, you know, kind of low key. You know, I mean, word is somewhat out that I'm here, but you know, I it's not like I came to do a show or anything. Mm. Just kind of moving around, feeling the vibes and what have you.
Is the reason you're here top secret then, or?
I'm here working.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here working. So I'm a lot of studio vibes. Mm-hmm. Putting something special together. Okay. So you know, I'm excited.
This is your first time here?
Nah. I've been here a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Haven't been here in a while though. It's been a few years since I've been here, but this is actually the first place I ever came when I left the States for the first time. I came to London years back, but yeah. So you know, it holds a special place in my heart.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I just saw Ja Rule can't come here.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I woke up to that.
I feel like he's lying.
Why? Why would he be lying?
Why would he lie?
Why would you book a show, yeah?
If you didn't know if you could come. Because why would you think you couldn't get in to the UK? Like, people in the States, we know, like, we might have trouble going getting into Canada, maybe Dubai.
But hey, we know if we got troubles going in there because we get our Estor visa before we book the flight. And say like, yeah, I'm That's coming true. In 6 months.
He probably, I would assume he would already, or no, he doesn't. If he can't come, that means he can't get his visa. Mm.
Right? Yeah, no.
But like,
it must be a visa issue as to why you can't get in the
but
country.
But Ja Rule's been to jail, right?
Yeah, so he
so
had.
So it could be something to do that.
He had the gun charge.
Yeah.
Remember really?
Him and Lil Wayne had the situation in New York.
Oh.
He got locked up the same time. Well, he didn't get locked up, but he got charged with the gun. The same time Lil Wayne did. Wayne went to Rikers because, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like Ja Rule's show that Wayne was coming to or something, but it was all around that same period in New York. So he had that. He had the tax situation, but I think obviously it's probably the gun charge. That's
That's probably it. Because
y'all are serious like that? Like lot of people have issues getting in over here?
Hey, I think Popcorn has issues. A few people have issues. Hey, obviously, Chris Brown, but he's allowed now.
Yeah, he's allowed now.
You know?
Didn't Tyler have an issue too?
The creator?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know.
I'm sure he's been here.
I feel like he's been here.
I'm sure. I think he has, but I think I remember him talking to me about that. You know? But it wasn't even, he doesn't have any problems with the law, but I think it was based on language or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that travel shit. I don't know, man. We stay here. But the thing is, I notice Americans don't travel a lot.
Nah, you lot go city to city.
Yeah.
You lot don't really, that they don't, like, a lot of you lot have passports.
I wouldn't know about that. I'm stamped up.
Yeah. No, but did you have one before you were DJ Drama? You had a passport.
I didn't leave the country till I was 21.
You see,
fucking
that's
hell.
Mad to us.
Yeah,
like,
but my parents are very well traveled, and they used to always kind of wonder when I would travel. But it's not like they took me anywhere. So, what are you talking about? Like, it's like, man, when are you gonna travel? I'm like, yeah, it's not like I grew up traveling the world. What are we talking about? But, that's a good point, though. I mean, yeah, I didn't. So, I came. Here for the first time based upon being DJ Drama. So
yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know, like you said, it's the States. Like, a lot of people in America probably don't even really know the difference between like countries and cities and state. Like, you know, they might think the UK is like a state.
Probably
because of like the Europe size is as well, though.
Europe is a country, and
country as well.
No, I'm telling you for sure. You ask 4 out of 5 Americans, they might say Africa is a country.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen it on TikTok.
So let's start from the top, man. School days. What was that like for you?
Like college days?
Nah, like what did you?
Elementary. Like, yeah, kindergarten.
Kindergarten's too young. It's going to be crazy.
Like, yeah. I don't know if someone stole
pretty
his
boring.
Milk.
You know,
like, sandbox. That's where they say, I go out the mud. Do you know what I'm saying? That's where it starts.
What, yeah, the sandbox.
So, you know, I'm originally from Philly.
Yeah.
You know, and like, in my younger years, before I was a DJ, I used to really be into skateboarding. So that was my thing. And like, maybe in the mid 90s, we have this really like famous skate park in Philly, or used to be a skate park called Love Park.
Right.
So in the mid 90s, I used to kind of, my dad used to work up the street from there, and I would go downtown, and it was like this collection of like young black skaters that was was coming up, you know, skateboarding was always kind of like a white boy thing
for the most part.
But then in Philly, like we just, you know, it was this crew of black skaters, and it was like niggas from like North Philly. One of them being a very world famous skater named Stevie Williams. And I knew him very early on, like when I was probably 13, he might have been like 10 or 11, and he was just super good. But I was trash.
You know what I mean?
So like when kickflips came out and everybody was being able to like bust super kickflips.
He said that's, like someone
skill number one, bro.
Now that shit's hard though.
No, Ollie is skill number one. Kickflip is the second thing you learn.
Now, back in the day, kickflips is a newer thing. I'm that age. I'm not a 90s baby. But he's right, though, at this point. Like, but I used to have trouble with ollies. I'm not going to lie.
Wait, what's the ollie when you spin it?
No, ollie's just jumping.
You jump and it flips.
No, just jump.
What? You couldn't do that?
I would have problems with it. I could do it. But you know, you would have to like ollie over things.
So a bunch of skaters,
we'd be like skating down the street and everybody would like ollie over this and keep going. I would fuck up and
it walk.
I'd have to like pick up my board. Pick up my board.
What about grinding?
No, he can't ollie. You think he's grinding,
nah,
bro?
I can grind. Come
on. No, run the start.
It depends on what we grinding on. Pause, but.
Big pause.
You're talking like a skater.
No, I had my days.
He had a 1-2 like DC shoe, you know? Like he had a DC shoe, so it was like.
You can kickflip?
Yes, I can. Right. But I don't know about now, but back in the day, I kickflips. Yeah. Ollie, definitely.
Ollie is pretty basic.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I could do these things, but not like be like, hit a kickflip and I'd
land it.
Long story short, because I wasn't that good, you know, and they used to like kind of crack jokes on me and shit. I went to the movies between like 8th grade and 9th grade, which is middle school to high school, and I went to go see Juice. And
okay,
you know, I was just like super fascinated with Omar Epps's character GQ. Like that, I think that was the first like maybe hip hop movie that I seen in the theater. Like, so I seeing a DJ on the big screen, I was just I was just blown away. You know what I'm saying? Like watching him make his demo tape in the crib, and you know him cutting and scratching.
Yeah.
And I kind of was like, man, I need a new hobby. Like, you know, this one's not panning out. You know, let me try my hand at this one.
Was going to cinema dangerous, though, back in the day? I remember the
Depends
first
Depends on where you went.
Yeah, but like going to see Juice.
It depended on what cinema you went to. you know, I would go up to the Northeast, which wasn't that dangerous to go. So, yeah, so I was safe. But there were, you know, I mean, we definitely had some cinemas where some shit went down.
Yeah,
for sure.
First time I saw Samurai was at the cinema.
What?
To watch Rush Hour.
Where'd you go?
And somebody brought a samurai sword.
Oh, I thought you meant the
movie. I thought you said.
In the lobby. It's crazy.
Swear.
We just finished laughing and shit.
Right?
It don't even make no sense. Like, Rush Hour doesn't even inspire that.
That kind of violence.
That's what I'm saying. So Juice in Philly, like, I'm thinking.
People might have been hyped. Like, Tupac as well. Like,
it was crazy. Yeah, I was straight. I was good.
It's mad what you're watching, though. Because when I'm watching Juice, I don't even remember there was music in there.
That's crazy.
I was thinking Bishop is moving.
A lot of people say that, though. I know it's so crazy. Because really, in the scheme of things, you're right. Like, the music is somewhat of the backdrop.
Yeah.
But to, like, DJs, like, there's a handful of DJs that I know and I'm sure out there that movie inspired them to be DJs. Like, if you're of a certain age, Juice was their inspiration to be a DJ.
Damn.
So, you know, thanks for, you know, salute to everyone involved in that movie.
Oh, so what kind of age was that then?
I was like 12, 13.
And then from there, it was like, yeah, DJ is my thing.
That's what I was doing, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Having a passion from that young, it makes sense where you are.
I think I was washed at them ages, man.
What? 12? I didn't care what. I didn't have a passion like that.
No?
You had threads as well, innit?
I did.
You think you could correct back?
I don't think so.
He said, I don't know.
I feel like I kind of remember cutting them because my hair was getting a little thin at a young age. So, But I had curly hair. My dad always tells me that's the gift and the curse of having like good hair. Like,
oh right.
What is your heritage? Have you done?
My dad is black and my mom is Caucasian. I mean, she's Jewish, but you know, I always tell people Jewish is a religion. So
yeah.
Because I hear people when they say their heritage, they're like, oh, my so and so is this, and my mom is Jewish. I mean, but it's like,
where's she from?
It's not like people say like, my dad is so and so, and my mom's Catholic. So
yeah.
But my dad's from Philly, my mom's from Boston, but my mom's roots are Eastern Europe.
Right.
Yeah, Eastern Europe. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're full on like Jewish in terms of like mom's side, because that's from like
mom, yeah that that's if the, your mom's Jewish.
Yeah. They Jewish. Say that it's like you're like not the real Jew, but that's like the way it originally it was. Like it was through your mom's blood. That must have been rough for her then.
In one way.
Like Jewish and a black person, was that? Did you ever see that die? That dynamic between like your parents' family, like, you know, his grandma not really coming around.
No. Because my parents were, my parents weren't together. Like they never were married. They separated when I was like two.
Right.
But both sides of my family are pretty progressive.
Okay, cool.
So now I'm sure, you know, when
to start off with.
My dad, and you know, I was born in 1978. I'm sure when my dad came around, there might have been some looks, you know, things of that nature.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as growing up, I mean, obviously, in like even in the States, like, you know, there were some times when, like, you know, especially me being so fair skinned or so light skinned, like I've gotten questions about my race my whole life. And
when
I was young, I remember people telling me, "You lying, you're not black," and shit like that. You know, thank God they named me Tyree. Like, I'd have been. Imagine if my name was like Layton.
Donald.
Yeah. There might have been like empowerment, like the first time that you say nigga in public, like,
right. Did I get away with it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, to this day, I mean, I'm sure when people, you know, I see comments on social media all the time, like when people listen to a mixtape, like, and they hear me say nigga on the mixtape, like, hold on, wait a minute. Is he allowed to say that?
Yeah.
I said that on a mixtape years ago. Like, do y'all really think I'd have been able to get away with this many niggas?
It's like Fat Joe and French. It's like, can they, can't they? It's tight for them too.
Yeah, it's tight.
Well, French is Moroccan.
Yeah.
Fat Joe is Puerto Rican, you know. I mean, in the States, like,
that's the one in the same.
Yeah, I read his book.
We feel like if you're a person of color,
yeah,
you know, like
they kind of let you. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys actually do have the what is it, like the guidebook on who's allowed and whatnot? Because
they definitely don't have the guidebook. No, they just get away with it.
We think we do.
Yeah, we definitely think we do.
No, but it's true because we will accept who they accept saying it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, because I accept Fat Joe saying it because it's like, oh, if it's cool with them, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he was just like, hey, listen, but when I grew up.
Nah.
Yeah, then they'd be like, yeah, man. I swear Logic don't say it and stuff like that. But Logic is like mixed race.
Logic, yeah.
So
and like, he's your mixed race, you know what I'm saying? Different. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's like dark. We're talking about it today.
Yeah, we were talking about today.
Nephews, all that kind of stuff. Like, some people are obviously like lighter. So it depends, like, how you actually present, if that makes sense. Like, people might see
it. It was so crazy. We went on tour together and he found out I was mixed. He was so excited. So he gave me the biggest hug. Like, what? What? Oh my God, come here.
He wasn't sure. He wasn't sure.
I be feeling bad for Logic, man. He be catching a lot of heat, man.
Nah, he does.
A lot. But you know what it is? I think it's because, like, he's trying to preach a bit. And people are like, oh, we don't need you. We get it. Like, and he's like, my mom's this, my dad's that. And everyone's like, oh, fuck off, man. Right. I'm fully this or whatever, like, whatever. So, like, yeah, I think people just, are just like,
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, he does.
So cool. Juice got you into DJing.
Juice got me into DJing.
So before the mixtapes, you're in like, you're in secondary school. That's what we call it. High school.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that like period of life as well for you?
It was good. You know, like,
you can't flashing back.
Yeah, I was just talking about this. How'd you know I had dreads? You seen a picture or something?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Did research as well.
I was I had a time in high school. You know, I was DJing in those years. By like 11th, 12th grade, like I started to have a little name in the city. Like I early on, I was befriended by the Roots.
Right.
You know, I knew Questlove and Black Thought, you know, early on. All those guys are like 4 or 5 years older than me. Mm. And they were kind of, that was the first time I really ever saw like someone in hip hop, like get a record deal, get on, like be on Rap City and Yo MTV Raps. Mm. Like, you know, so for me, like seeing it happen was very inspirational and motivational at a young age, because I was like, man, you could really do this shit. Like,
yeah.
I'm not just coming home watching videos, which I was, but here's some people I really know that like I used to just see around Philly trying to like rap and do shows and stuff, and now they're on television and going on tour with the Fugees.
Yeah.
And my next door neighbor was this female artist out of Philly who's super dope, named Bahamadia. So, you know, because of my affiliations, and then just, you know, I was kind of a cool ass nigga in high school. it was some fun years. Like, I got voted most likely to be famous.
Mm. Okay.
You know, I went to a high school that was like it was a smart school in Philly. So it was like, you know, you had to have good grades to get in. I definitely kept good grades. My mom's an educator, so she's pretty serious about that type of stuff.
You had a yearbook.
Yeah, we had a yearbook.
So in the yearbook, it says most likely to be famous.
Yeah, and I'm in there. Yeah, it was me and this other girl named Maritza. And then
where's Maritza?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
You can't be front cracker than everyone, man.
But speaking of that, my point was that because of that, like, we had a lot of various races that went to our school. So we were known for having the girls at my school. Like,
right.
You know, where our subway stop is up the street on Broad Street was, you know, where a lot of various schools would come congregate after school. And they would come because there was my school, Central, and then right up the street was Girls High.
Right.
So everybody would want to come over and, like, you know, see the girls after school and everything. Mm-hmm. So my point was, like, you know, when I look back at my yearbook and look at the various comments and women that would write things, like, yeah,
It was destiny.
We just signed each other's shirts.
Get out of here. No yearbook.
No yearbook.
You don't take a picture. Like,
nah.
You just sign each other's shirts.
First of all, that's crazy because the fact that y'all have to wear those uniforms every day and y'all don't get a picture of that
is crazy. You don't have like uniform. You just go to school.
You
had like the chinos and that, right?
Some people wore uniforms. I never wore I wasn't doing that.
So I said chinos, khakis.
Khakis.
There you go.
There are schools in various cities that do wear uniform, public schools. Now, if you go to like a Catholic school or prep school, you're wearing a uniform. Public schools, for the most, it's definitely in the 90s, didn't wear no uniforms. Now, as the years went on, different school systems started to make kids wear uniforms.
Right.
Which was always weird to me, like for a public school, but I definitely never had no uniform. So we could pretty much wear what we wanted.
So, but was it easy to keep up drip wise? Cause
when we talking about a whole nother time, thank God it's before social media, none of that shit. So,
yeah.
By the way, when I was in high school, I didn't know what Louis Vuitton was. I didn't know.
The only thing I may have known was
Gucci.
Other
brand, like all these brands, I didn't know what none of that shit was. Probably till halfway through college, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, we knew like Iceberg because Biggie.
Yeah, Machino, that kind of
stuff. Yeah, Machino. We had different type of brands back then. So, you know, Carl Kani, things of that nature. So, I didn't, keeping up wasn't that expensive, you know, in those days.
Yeah, that's lucky, bro. Today. I'm grateful that we went to school with uniform. Like day, I'm all there. Like,
you ain't gotta worry about that's a good point.
We had one day where you was allowed to wear your own clothes. Yeah, you might like pay one.
A lot
pound.
Of pressure on that one day.
Because it's the one day.
Yeah,
you I came in with my older brother's clothes. Sometimes like, my older brother's got the drip, so I'm coming in with double XL. Basically,
it was big competition. I know a guy that brought a change of outfit once.
Oh, he was doing stuff.
Suspect.
Oh, did he?
He came, but the second fit was shit.
Yeah,
after lunch, he was cooking.
I like, damn, why'd you change?
Yeah. He's thinking I'm gonna kill them on the second. On the second verse, I'm gonna kill them.
I got cooked once because my brother had. This is when like new era caps just came. And obviously, my brother's head is bigger than mine.
Pause.
But I was like, pause. But when I wore it, obviously, you could tell that it didn't really fit my head. But I was like, fuck it, man. It's a new era, anyway.
There's a bit of gappy on the sides, yeah.
On the side. I came in and they cooked me, bro.
What team was it?
I don't know.
We don't know. That's the thing. We'll just buy the cap and think, oh, that logo looks cold. Like, we know the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
But, like, other symbols is like.
It's like.
Does it go?
And no. New York. That's it.
Colors, yeah. Yankees.
What colors was it? Do you remember?
Black. That's all I remember. I don't remember the logo or nothing. I just remember I got cooked.
Yeah, nah, that was tough times, man. That one day was pressure.
A lot of pressure, man.
Wait. Is one day during the school year or
during the school year?
One day during the school year.
Yeah, we had to pay a pound to like charity.
Yeah, Red Nose Day.
Well, you pay a pound.
Definitely going to see some girls that day though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, straight after school. After the school ends.
That was the day then.
Yeah.
It was important, man. One day to show. Someone say you look shit, you're thinking, fuck, I got next year to.
Yeah.
Got 365 to go back on them.
I remember one time where I was just like, I'm not on it this year. I went in school uniform and said, oh, I forgot.
Yeah. But that was a way that you could tell, like, maybe someone that might not had a lot, like, maybe the home might have been, a lot was going on because some people didn't participate
at all.
Maybe they actually didn't have clothes.
I wasn't under pressure. Like, I've always been somewhere it's like, I don't get this drip thing. Let me just come in my school uniform and say I forgot, man.
So, like, right when y'all graduate, it's like, oh, it's on and popping. So, because I'm be able to wear whatever I want.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So, you go to college.
You go to college.
Yeah. And that's when I, like, discovered Armani. So, you're saying, like, Louis V and all that.
Armani Exchange, though, not
Exchange
is a bit different to the Armani.
Because they was giving us, like, £30 a week or a month?
Yeah, EMA. £30 a week.
A week. I was wondering how I survived if it was a month. So they would give us like £30 a week that would get spent on food and some clothes, but it's not stretching regardless. So
yeah.
It was tough keeping up because we went boys school as well. So now girls are involved.
Yeah. Okay.
But again, there was no Instagram. So you could,
there's no real pressure
with some stuff.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie though. Like even in my era, like you got to think like I went to school in the mid 90s. So what was for the most part, what was hot between like, Wu-Tang and these type of groups. Like we used to go down to this like military store called Igoberg, and I used to buy like these green fatigues, probably for like $20, and wear like Vasquez's and white tees. So it wasn't.
What's a green fatigue?
Green fatigues army.
Like this,
like army fatigue. Yeah. Like
okay.
These like baggy fatigues. So like you know, or even just the. Like it was, you know, I came up in a rough, rugged, and raw type of era where it was like looking kind of from the streets was in.
Mm-hmm. So,
it wasn't really until like Big and Puff and Hove started really like putting Iceberg on and Moschino and all this the fly shit that you had to like switch out to that. You know,
right.
It was looking kind of grimy for the most part.
Yeah, them triple XL tees.
You lot was fucking dressing horribly.
With the boot cuts that just.
Oh my god!
Triple XT era was disgusting.
That's horrible.
But you like took part,
huh?
You took part.
I did.
Of course.
Yeah, I did.
Of course.
Oh my god! Down to your knees, paws like. Yeah, like the early 2000s. Absolutely. Yeah, I was in the midst of that era.
I think we would have, but we couldn't because we only go to like double XL in the UK.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's we couldn't stop.
Yeah. When I went to America, it was like 5XL. I'm like,
that's crazy. 5XL. Yeah.
When someone's making this, they should be like, why is someone fitting into this if that makes sense? Yeah. Like, this isn't a good thing. Yeah, it's crazy.
This is selling.
It's crazy. Yeah. And to the slimmest guy.
Going ham.
Like, let me get 5 of these, please. 5XL.
Selling. And like, what was it? Like 3/4 lengths that was coming past the ankles as well.
Oh, yeah, those are ugly. I had a
lot of 3/4 lengths.
I had a lot of those. Those
denim were, ones as
those
well.
Those were a thing in Philly.
Horrible.
Yeah, those are a thing in Philly. Like, it's disgusting. I look at some pictures from like 2003 to like 2008. Oh, the fits are terrible.
Do you think we'll look back at now and think that though?
Hell yeah.
You reckon?
I don't
know. Not this period.
This period.
But
yeah, not this
on
period.
When man was like 13, 14, 15.
Oh yeah, no, I do look what? Back I've at looked, my old like, stuff right what? Now. Yeah. But crazy. I was thinking like this period, because obviously everybody always grows up saying, oh yeah, back in the day, look at what I was wearing. Like my dad and that.
Yeah.
Like they were like this age when they were wearing some mad things. Like, you know what I'm saying? So right now he's older looking back and be like, I don't know what the hell was going on there.
Yeah.
Do you think we're gonna get to that age and be like,
I don't know if will I be wearing tracksuits when I'm like, yeah.
I think I will.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
I will.
Yeah.
That's a sweatsuit, right?
Yeah.
But
the older I get, the more I'm going to get.
Bro, I saw one dude, where was I? I was taking my daughter swimming and he was wearing like, those walking shoes. Like, white people when they go hiking.
Like
Camirachas or something.
Yeah. Them joints, they got bare strings on the side. Yeah. Luminous, it glows in the dark. It'll keep you safe. Especially if you fall down or some shit. Someone will see that you're falling down. I want those. I want it. Because I feel like, damn it, I don't give a flying fuck.
What you gonna wear them with?
I don't know, man. Exactly. That's the thing. I need to change the whole wardrobe by the time I get there. But I feel like...
Oh, you just want to be in that era.
I want to be there.
Yeah,
you because that's the point. I'm like, it's good for my feet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not even about what it looks like anymore. I want to be there.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing because you're basically coming from the school of like, they say the most wealthiest people don't wear none of that
that's
shit.
It. You know that's it. Yeah. That's it. I looked to the guy. I was like, he looks like he has some money.
He's got some money. Yeah,
right. His priorities are straight. I need to get him those. Like, some people make you like, oh, let me hide my watch right now. Like, this don't make no sense. Why have I got this watch on? And this guy's like, he's got his priorities in order. But right, he's got these shoes
he's
on.
Making me tuck all this shit.
All of that in. Have you ever felt like that?
Have I ever?
Like, you know, considering like who you might be around, have you ever felt like, because they always are like billionaires, the real billionaires don't have that. And I feel like Americans, you guys are very close to those. A lot of billionaires are there. So they're quite close to you. Maybe you might have met them.
No, not really. Because of my profession.
Yeah.
Or just like, you know.
Part of it.
Yeah, it comes with the territory. But I can understand that feeling. Like there's certain times when this might not be the attire.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know, just have a nice clean watch on and leave it at that. You know, your watch says everything. So
yeah,
all this I always when people comment on, I be like, it's costume jewelry.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, it's the rap costume.
Yeah, you buy a fake jewelry.
I've had one. I never bought it, but
Akon gave it to you.
One of them ones. Because French got done, didn't it? It was French that got done.
He didn't know. Akon didn't know. I did have a jeweler one time when I bought a chain from him. He like kind of lent me a fake chain. Just like on a double up type tip.
Yeah.
But obviously he told me in advance it was fake. I knew it was fake and I didn't pay for it. So it was just like,
are you thinking about it though?
About paying for it?
Yeah, like I could get away with that.
I got away with it. I wore it for sure. Nobody ever knew.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But, you know, I wouldn't have bought it at all.
Damn.
Yeah.
They
I'm not buying no fake jewelry. But listen, man, I get it. I mean, if you think about in a sense, it's like if so and so is wearing something, you know, who's gonna know who's gonna think that it's fake? The only problem is when you if you do stuff like that and you take pictures of stuff, you know, there's social media is insane now.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to be is on fake watch buttons.
Yeah. He got a lot of people down.
Yeah, that's not the look.
Finished, like, what's his name? Ace Hood, didn't it?
Did he?
Ace Hood was unfortunate.
Nah, Ace Hood had a situation on TV when his
the bezel fell off like mid interview. He weren't even shaking his hand or nothing. It just fell off. Gravity said, fuck it. Gravity did the pull up on him.
Expiry date on him.
And you know what's worse? It's Bow Wow. He was like, oh shit.
Yeah, Bow.
His bezel dropped on the floor. Get your bezel, my man. Get it. I was like, oh.
Bow, like, oh, man.
Come on, man. He's trying to pick up the pieces. He's trying to screw it back. And then he couldn't screw it. And he was like, just put it in your pocket. He had his bezel in his pocket.
Damn.
Sorry. Okay, let's do an introduction.
Let's do an intro for sure. Yeah, that is very sure. My name is Sebi Akubi.
I'm Fred Santana.
Got a shoot in the house.
Yeah.
Woo. Drama, be careful. That's a shooter over there.
Come on, man.
Real shooter over there. You saw him fixing the cameras, Lumix and Black Magics and all that software and all black too. How you feeling?
I'm feeling dangerous.
Yeah, that's a dangerous man over there. Nigga overseas, underseas, or God and him or never God. It's my nigga VP in the cut. That's a scary sign.
Yo.
We got a Grammy Award winning.
Mr. Thanksgiving.
You know, Miss, I look at, hey, sign us.
Hey, I've been listening to the, what?
Grammy Award winning, listen, producing mixtape. Hey, legendary mixtape.
This is actually a legend in the room.
This is a real legend in the room. Real legend. I can't believe how easy it was. I just need to go to the barbershop. And that was it. From there, we got DJ Drama in the house, man.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you for coming. You said you wanted to take a shot? Or?
Yeah, we could do a shot. Yeah, we got to.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll grab some more.
Yeah.
Gotta do a shot with the brothers.
That's cool.
You get me, bruv.
You get me, bro. Is there a cold one? Yeah. Grab something good. But yeah, man, like, how's life?
Life is good. Life is great. I mean, you know, to be in the UK, working and enjoying life. And this phase of life, this age of life, this time in life, you know, I'm very blessed, you know.
Do you think you still need to be outside? Like, because obviously.
Somewhat.
Why is that?
Because.
Yeah, the thing's a bit.
It's part of what makes me me and what enables me to be in the position that I'm in. Like, now I'm gonna be honest, I'm not outside a lot when, as the term outside is per se, like, you know, like when I'm not working for the most part, I'm pretty much not outside. But, you know, it's how I keep my ear to the streets, or, you know, I know what's going on. I mean, I feel like as long as I'm necessarily like in a position of wanting to sign artists, or in a position of like being at events playing music, I have to be outside to some degree.
I'm gonna
be out of the loop. Like, you know, if I don't mind being out of the loop, then cool, I can just go travel the world and not know what's going on. But
yeah.
You know, the like, that's a blessing about living in Atlanta.
He's got some.
Oh, you got some already?
Okay. I mean, I assume the one sitting right here was for me, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I got some.
Yeah, you thought I was just trying to leave him out. And
that's fucking shit. He could just skip Drama. Yeah, shoot. Toast to Barbers, man. Yeah, and the whole mixtape era, man. Shout you out.
So, do you feel like stages of life, like, would you say you're in your second, I think, do people say that, is it saying like I'm living my second life?
They say.
Do you feel like you're a second life, or you've moved into a third life stage, or Where are you, like?
Career wise, personal. What are we?
Personal.
Would I say second? They say like, you know, like midlife or they said negatively. They'd be like
midlife crisis. Yeah,
I went through that already. I did that.
What did you do? What did that look like?
I did that a couple years ago.
Let's talk about that first.
Let's talk about that.
Are we 31? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like I did. I had that. So what?
You had your midlife crisis.
I feel like I did. It was horrible. But tell me about yours. So
mine is probably a little different from most people's because, you know, the way my life is set up is a little interesting. Like I did a lot of life how most people. I did my shit kind of is going backwards in a lot of ways.
Oh, right.
Like I had kids young. Not extremely young, but in my early 20s. Then I got married, but I didn't get married to the daughters of my mother. And then I got divorced. Then I had a girlfriend. And then, you know, I had a couple girlfriends.
Whoa, whoa.
When you said backwards, I didn't understand.
Whoa. Yeah, now I get it. Yeah.
Because now you're single.
Now I'm single and all I want to do is play video games. Yeah. So, yeah.
He wants to stream. Like, I'm trying to stream.
It might happen. It might. Hey. That might be a thing. Like, everybody around me is like, yo, you should stream. I'm like, yeah, I got to get good at the games first. Like,
You don't.
I don't.
That's the whole point.
We just need management.
That might be the twist.
What are you playing?
I'm playing Madden and GTA 5.
GTA, there's no levels to that. You just stream and you just.
There are levels. There's a lot of muff. The niggas on there, it's a world on there. It's crazy.
That's what you need to do. What's that? Mods? Or you need to create a world.
Yeah, they have one. Because T-Grizzly is on one of the mods.
Yeah.
I could get on one of those too. The mods are dope. You got to get a PC for that, but
yeah. What are you playing? P5?
No, I play the regular GTA.
But on PS5. Sorry, I'll just.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm new.
Yeah.
I'm new.
Yeah.
But I'm playing P5.
He said I play the regular one.
Yeah. I'm thinking PC. Yeah. 5M. There's 5M. PS5. If you'd have said PS5, I'd have knew what you was talking about.
Yeah. No Call of Duty.
A little bit, but every time I play Call of Duty, I always wind up going back to GTA because it's just more shit in there. Like Call of Duty is dope. I mean, it's a great shooting game, but in GTA I can
drive a car, I can buy cars.
It's just so, it's like really a word. Like that's the real metaverse to me. Like it's just,
yeah.
And even when I talk really to people on there, like I'm like, damn, these niggas live on here. I mean, I'm like, damn, I kind of live on here too now, but
yeah,
like just, it's such a world. It's crazy. Like, you know, so that's what I was saying about life going backwards. So long story short, a couple years ago during COVID, I found myself single, not working a lot. Spending a lot of time, like, you know, because I wasn't working a lot, I don't really go out in Atlanta for the most part, you know, normally I, you know, cause I travel a lot and, you know, when I'm home, I'll be home. So during COVID, I found myself going out a lot in Atlanta, like all the time.
Cause Atlanta wasn't shut, was it?
It was wide open.
Yeah.
Like crazy. We were one of the few places that were like, well, you wouldn't even tell COVID existed in Atlanta for the moment. Yeah. It was. Clubs, everything was open. Like people were going to like Tulum and Atlanta. Like those were the spots. Like, you know, you can have a good time there if your city is shut down.
Yeah.
So I found myself like just like dating a lot of women, like all at the same time, like a lot, like more than was enough to juggle.
And making it sound bad. Yeah.
It was a crisis.
Sounds horrible, man.
What does dating drama look like? Not saying I want to date you or anything.
It sound like it.
I'm married. No, that's not the only reason why.
But
listen, I'm taken.
Otherwise.
Right.
What does that actually look like during that period? Like, is that like, let's go shopping or let's just go eat. Like, are you like super extravagant, roll out the red carpet because you know you can, or are you like, let's just go get.
It depends on who it is or where, like, you know, how much I may feel them. But during that time, there wasn't a lot of red carpets you had to roll out, thankfully. So I was getting away with murder. You know?
Right. Just come up to the house.
But, you know, it was sometimes like, you know, I mean, definitely, obviously anybody who's dating me for the most part, you know, would know or assume like there's definitely traveling involved. So
right.
I move around a lot. I think I'm a good guy to date. I would date me if I was a woman. Like,
yeah.
You know?
how quick do you be like, yeah, this is someone I'm gonna date though?
It depends on what stage of life it was.
Yeah.
This stage of life, it's gonna take a while.
Yeah.
But you know, I was also in relationships for a majority of my life. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So. Now I'm at a period where it's like, that's not what I need in my life, you know?
Right.
I hear it.
Thing is, as a single man, but coming from like marriage and relationships, is there some things that you've kept like having more than two pillows that a woman has shown you?
Oh, for sure. Mm.
Oh, you got like loads of pillows on your bed?
Definitely got a lot of pillows. No, I got a lot of gems. So now it's very impressive to women because they'd be like, you know,
come to the crib.
This
close.
Yeah, you're like, you know, this is rare. And I'm like, what you mean is rare? Like, you know, the type of lifestyle I live, because I'm like, and in my brain, I'm like, so-and-so put me onto that.
Yeah.
yeah. You don't even know.
You know, like with men, like, yeah, shit, like, decoration was trainer boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Stacked up.
Nike, Adidas, Reebok.
You decorated this whole house yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all me. Yeah, I did this.
You should have seen some of our old studios. Shit,
oh, yeah, our old studios did not look like this.
Hey, crazy. Yeah. When you even asked, I like... Then asked, oh, like, how much people can fit in the studio? I was like, oh, this guy's bringing like 20 people. I was like,
we got the space now, isn't it? Last studio,
it's quite decent.
Could have been like, bring him and one other
person. Yeah. I was just like, oh, bring half of him and see if he can do the podcast. But the thing is, I was even thinking, bro, like, if I tell him we got space, he might overdo it. So I said, there's like six seats. Like, just fill that out. But we got everyone in there.
Yeah.
No. We got everyone in there.
Nah, like, man got scatter cushions at home and shit.
Yeah.
Scatter cushions.
You know, I didn't know what a scatter cushion was.
What's that?
The joint that's just there.
Scatter that on there.
Yeah. Like
throw pillows.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
You just changed as men. Like, you just grow up. So that's even like the question of like what like life stage you at personally. And then, so
I'm in a great space though. I mean, like, you know, I'm like... My forties are amazing, bro.
Oh yeah, tell us about it.
Forties are amazing.
That's when life begins, isn't it?
We're getting there.
And you know, it's kind of weird. And you know, when you talk to women too, is sometimes I feel bad for them because, like, you know, women, it's the opposite. Like men age gracefully,
right.
As women get older, their value sometimes like decreases. Yeah, unfortunately, and they be like, it's not fair, and not be in my brain like, yeah, it's really not.
Yeah,
this shit is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, are we the richest we've ever been at?
You know, now in my age, like, you know, it's like, you know, the young women are attracted to you, like the women of your age are attracted to you.
Yeah, and it's like
now I see why all the young women wanted to date older niggas. Yeah. Now that I'm older, like when I was young, I was hating, like,
yeah,
the fuck do you see in him? Now I'm that guy. You know? I get it. But like I'd say that to say, when I was in my thirties, were I had a good time. You know, I've had an amazing life. I'm very blessed. So, the one thing I will say I did, I don't know if you guys do this. Wait, you're all married?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope, man.
Yeah, that's super dope.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's like, not me, you know.
No, I was married for a period of time in my 30s too.
Nice.
But I definitely used to lie about my age at times. Like, I don't know why. Just, you know, I would.
To women or just in general?
To women mostly, but just in general, I would just kind of like try to take a couple of years off. Like, I couldn't really lie in an interview. I mean, because people would just go look at Wikipedia or some shit like that. But like, if I was like 36 or 34, I would say I was 31, or 36, I would say I'm 33 and 38.
Right.
You know, when I turned 40, it was, I'm 40. Like, I'm here. Like, you know, I'm at 40. But just, I don't, you know, again, it's just, I do feel like, you know, and again, I think personally and career wise is somewhat attached, so I don't want to detach them.
Yeah.
But the way that I was able to move through my career and the things that I accomplished in my 20s and 30s definitely set me up to where I am now. I'm 45. I'll be 46 this year. To where, you know, I'm able to like work smarter, not harder. Yeah. You know, I do have time for myself. My kids are pretty much grown. You know, my daughter is going to be 23 and 18 this year. So, you know, one of my daughters is actually over here right now with me. So we have a great relationship. So, you know, it's kind of like smooth sailing for the most part. And, you know, I'm able to have, I'm not like hustling and bustling where every weekend I'm in the clubs or traveling three different cities, you know, from Thursday to Saturday or Sunday like that. You know, I have time to myself. I do dope gigs, but I don't like overdo it. And, in this, a period like that, or.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's I'm in a great space, man. I'm in a great headspace, you know. Drama free, like, you know, nobody I gotta worry about no toxic situations. It's just
crazy. Yeah. You've been I'm curious to know like that era of like first of all, it's funny, I was talking about Young Jeezy the other day. This is before I even knew that. Which is crazy.
Our barber, your barber, he's a
Yeah, Ken our Bannis barber, we share the same barber. Yeah. I share the same barber.
Was that your claim to fame?
Me and John McCall, here come on the same guy.
Shout out to my barber Khalid in Atlanta. He'll kill me.
You know what I mean? Like you're in the UK all the time.
Salute to Khalid, barber. But he kept talking about Ken Bannis and Snowman.
Like, so I'm thinking, that whole period, you actually saw all that. That BMF stuff that we're watching on TV. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, I lived it.
Which is crazy. So just how was that being in that whole era where you're seeing like Atlanta, like bubbling, whether it be from a street level and then the music's coming through? Like, what was those experiences like or any like stories there?
I mean, it was like living through a movie. I mean, watching and knowing BMF was like watching a movie happen. You know, when I was growing up in Philly, we had this, we had something called the JBM, the Junior Black Mafia, which was similar, but, you know, not to scale. So when I was like, you know, kind of coming up and befriended by BMF and, you know, moving around, like I used to think like, damn, that's what it must have been like to be around the JBM. And even bigger than that, like, you know, just... the lore of Big Meech and what was going on in Atlanta, it was like you could feel like, yo, this is a movie happening, you know, around me. I mean, it was, you know, it was like to hear or to see like the party that Meech threw when he had like lions and tigers and you know, it was like,
this doesn't sound real.
That party,
yeah.
And the lions and tigers were in a cage,
Shout the hand of Kang. Like, I was there, I was there for a lot of it. I mean, like, you know, I really got to witness it. So it was, you know, I don't know if I knew that we'd be talking about it this much years later, or it would be a television show, or. It would be something, but you also kind of got that feeling, like, you know, when you're making history, I don't know if you realize you're making it, but you know, you can definitely feel like that it's a
moment. This is a moment.
You know, so, but I feel like moving to Atlanta at the time that I did and being in the spaces is almost like destiny in a lot of ways, you know, just thinking about, you know, some of the things that happened throughout my career, or like how I met my best friends or my business partners because I moved to Atlanta, or, you know, how I just randomly got a phone call from T.I.'s manager, like to come rap on my tape, or how Coach K, who was managing Young Jeezy, lived around the corner from me. Like, that's how we met. Like, you know, all these things are like, when I look back, like, damn, this is crazy that I was just right in this spot for this to happen. You know? It's, you know, and even with BMF, like, first time I ever saw any real money, like, was because of BMF. You know, I asked their artist, Blue Da Vinci, to, like, to sponsor a mixtape. And this was, like, when Gangsta Grillz was still, like, compilations. It wasn't even based around one artist. And he was like, how much you need? And I was like $8. And I was talking about, like, $800. He was like, you need $8? I got you. No problem. He took me to... you know, this crib in Buckhead, probably one of the biggest cribs I'd ever been at in my life up to that point. and just gave me eight racks, like it was nothing, in all hundreds. And I was just, you know, I didn't want to be like, oh, I only met 800. So I was like, my nigga, good looking.
Adapt him up, just yell. It's going to help a lot.
You know, you don't even want to act like you're surprised or.
Yeah. No, it's acting like I've been here before. It's like, hey, grand. Oh, yeah, that's life.
Yeah, I act like I've been there. I had never been there before. So. But, you know, like, when like Meech was a solid individual, like, you know, he was very calm mannered, you know, showed a lot of love to people. Like, even like when people first told me, like, yo, he would, you know, he would go through the college campus to go copy mixtapes and things like that. Like, and I spent some time with him. He was on house arrest, and I found out, like, me and Lil Meech have the same birthday, actually. And you know, he was a kid when me and his pop got cool. But it was, yeah, with Atlanta is a special place, bro. It's a special place, especially for Black people. Like, it's, you know, in the States, they like to call it Wakanda, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we saw T.I. do that. From here, I was like, he looks like a fool saying that shit on the news. That shit looks stupid as hell. Who the fuck is he talking about?
Like, two weeks later, some like Black cops beat the shit out of these college students.
So when you was growing up in Philly, like, how far did you think it would go? Like, what was your smallest first dream?
To get my name on a flyer.
On a code. I mean, mine was to get some free clothes.
To get some free clothes?
Yeah.
And then when I got that shit, I was like, damn, I should have wished bigger. Some
free clothes. It's like my dreams are done now. Like, that's it.
Shit. Flyer.
I started DJing in high school, that was my goal. Like, I got to get my name on a flyer, you know? Because even the place I was talking about on Broad Street, up the street from my school, they used to pass out the flyers for all the parties on the weekend. And I used to see all the DJs' names on there. I was like, that's so cool. Like, that's so fly. Like, damn, so DJ so-and-so. Like, this Friday night.
Your name was DJ Drama from the jump.
No, it wasn't. I didn't have a DJ name maybe for like 2-3 years. I don't think I started using Drama till I was about like 16. And I started DJing at 13.
So what, you got by your government name,
John? No, I was trying to figure it out. I didn't have a DJ name yet. Maybe figured it out 15, 16. So the legend goes, I had these two friends. I had this, they were a couple years older than me. We worked at this program together. And my man Hakeem, who was the biggest Tupac fan, like all he would do all day is rap Pac. And my other homeboy that was named Bakari, he was from Senegal. So his name was Bakari Drame. And he used to sell, like, he had a stand at Broad and Girard where he would sell, like, incense and mixtapes and, you know, other small items like that. So Hakeem would always call Bakari DJ Drama, like, you know, kind of in a playful manner, in a sense, like, DJ Drama, like, you know what I mean? But Bakari, he did have some turntables. I ain't going front. I want to say he wasn't like a real DJ. Like, Bakari did have turntables, but he wasn't taking the art of DJing as serious as I was at the time. And the name just sounded so dope to me. Like, you know, I definitely hadn't come up with anything better up to that point. And I asked him, I was like, yo, are you using that? Like,
let me hold that name.
He let me have it. He let me hold it.
Shout him out, man. Yeah, shout out
Bakari.
Man.
Now, I've shouted, trust me, Bakari definitely knows it. I tell this story.
Yeah.
One of his like little cousins or something wrote me on social media a couple of years ago. Like, yo, my uncle is Bakari. Like, we need a couple of hours over here.
I hear it. Remember when Kanye went on Drink Champs and he was like, oh, Beanie Siegel gave me my name. When I see Beanie, I'm going to give him some money. Yeah. And then Beanie is cheesing all over. Beanie looked like he got paid.
He gave Siegel some money. He definitely gave Siegel some money.
For sure. Because in the videos, everyone's like, so what did Kanye give him? He's all smiling and that. He's like, I can neither confirm nor deny, but shout out to Ye. Like,
you're in.
Hello, doctor.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.